You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, Charlene, my wife, who is more astute politically than I am very often, is just sent me a thought. She said, you know what, we're importing all this oil from Russia. In other words, we're feeding their economy. By doing so, we're feeding their ability to move their troops, cost-wise, to the border of Ukraine. That's sharp. Anyway, let me do this. I got a caller who held on during the break. Let me go ahead and just grab that right now, Copper. I'll take line five, Jerry from Decatur. Hey, Jerry, Phil Williams, thanks for holding on, man. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. All the way, sir.
All the way. Airborne. What you got?
Yes, sir. I love your show. In line with what Charlene was texting you about, you know, it's most obvious to the casual observer to step back and take a look that what we're doing is giving away our freedom. We're surrendering this thing to the enemies. And what I mean by that is that, shutting down the Keystone Pipeline, and that caused our energy prices to soar. And so Biden, needing a reprieve from stupid, opened up our strategic oil reserve to bring the prices back down.
Right.
The question I have for you, Phil, is how long will our strategic oil reserve last?
That's my recollection.
Where I'm at right there, because I know that this thing is surrendering to stupid, and we're surrendering. What we have here is a domestic enemy of the United States in the presidency right now.
Wow.
And we're supposed to be protecting ourselves from that, foreign and domestic. And here he is, a foreign enemy of the United States of America in the presidency, doing what he's doing to surrender this thing and weaken our nation to enemies. And
well,
I just thought I'd run that by you. How long will the strategic oil reserve last?
You know what? Right. I will double check, Jerry. It's a good call, man. Thanks for your service, by the way.
Yes,
that's a good call. So my recollection is that the strategic oil reserves is designed to last for 90 to 120 days, and I could be wrong on that. And something about when Biden released a X amount from the strategic oil reserves before, that it only gave about the upside of about 1 week to 2 weeks worth into the economy at that particular point. It was like a drop in the bucket, basically, is what I'm saying. That was a nothing burger. Good point, Jerry. Hey, great call. Thanks for holding on through the break, man. Appreciate you doing that. Thanks for being in the audience. And he's right. You know, when you look at what we got in the White House right now, Biden has made it clear that he is not, you know, he's not a fan of a strict construction of our Constitution. The Constitution is there if he needs it, and it's in the way if he doesn't. I mean, he had advisors telling him that his vaccine mandates were not likely to stand. What did he do? He did it anyway. He had the opportunity to remain energy independent, which we were. We were energy independent 2 years ago. 2 years ago. He took office 1 year ago. Now we're importing oil from Russia. Well, put two and two together, and you've got literally, and I'll say it. I said it on another radio show this morning when I did a guest appearance there. The reality is this: what we are seeing right now is not only does Joe Biden have no respect for our Constitution, but we are seeing clear evidence that in his 40-plus year career in D.C., he has never had to be in charge of anything. Anything. He has not had to be in charge of anything. Leadership matters. He's never run a business. He's been in D.C. since he was 29 years old, I believe it was. He's never done anything where he had to be in charge. He's never built a business. He's never served in the military. He's never gone down any road that requires him to own the responsibility of the moment until now. And the phrase that I keep using that I just feel like it just came to me one day is he has had, for 40 years, he's had the luxury of rhetoric without responsibility. He could go to the podium and say whatever he wanted to say. He could make Clarence Thomas's life miserable in a hearing. He could go and rail on the stump about how he's going to cure COVID. He could go and say everything he wanted to about anything. And there was zero level of responsibility. Because at that point, he could turn around, walk away from the podium, nothing. Rhetoric without responsibility. Well, now guess who's in charge? Well, listen, let me wind up this section. So, yeah. You know, as I talk about the Department of State of Denial, you have to question things when you look at it and realize that an article off of Fox, dated January 3rd, just a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, literally had the press wondering what in the world the Department of State was doing, continuing to send out tweets, making sure the world knew what was on Secretary of State Antony Blinken's Spotify list. I mean, it was at a time when Russia was already building up. It was in the aftermath of the Afghanistan debacle. It was at a time when we were trying to negotiate international agreements. It's at a time when, you know, the ability to negotiate with Mexico over what's happening at our border has apparently fallen apart. And they're doing the Spotify list. Now, first of all, let me just say this. I get it. They're trying to humanize the person. They're trying to, you know, bring a lighter touch. You know, hey, we're real over here, y'all. We're just like you. We have Spotify lists too. Look, even the Secretary of State, here's what's on his playlist. Well, that's neat, but there's a time and a place. And that was not the time or place. And it drew the wrong kind of attention. One literally, who was it? She was a press secretary. Abigail Marone, who's the press secretary for Senator Josh Hawley, who's a Republican, who doesn't like Biden, I get it, said, quote, "The State Department has tweeted about Tony Blinken's Spotify four times this month in case you're wondering what the Biden administration's priorities are, and still no accountability on Afghanistan." There it is. But speaking of Afghanistan, another article off of Fox dated yesterday. The State Department's spokesman is a guy named Ned Price, who does not inspire confidence. You know, at least Jen Psaki will kind of go at it. You know, she'll show some moxie at the microphone. You know what I'm saying? She's got those hand motions down, those visual signals that don't mess with me. I have the facts. No, not Ned. Ned comes across a little beta male, you know, just kind of soft on the topics. And here's the thing. He was questioned yesterday about, well, let me just read you the question. Where did it go? State Department, yada, 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 yada. The reporter asked him if Russia is taking a page off of what happened in Afghanistan in its tactics against Ukraine. Yeah. And that an invasion without a major U.S. response could have a domino effect around the world concerning China, Taiwan, Iran, its proxies, North Korea, South Korea, Japan. And Price went on to argue that he has a hard time. This is Ned Price, State Department spokesman. He has a hard time understanding how the U.S. military's withdrawal from Afghanistan could have possibly emboldened autocratic leaders around the world like Russian President Vladimir Putin. Come on, dude. That right there, that article, that one is the one that caused me to, I literally changed the title of this part of the Triple Dipper to Department of State of Denial. That's a state of denial. If you don't think for a minute that what happened in Afghanistan and the manner in which we abandoned people and created chaos and caused a power vacuum and abandoned an ally and did nothing to sort of bolster the moment and then leave strategically. We needed to leave Afghanistan eventually. I get it. And maybe the time was now. I mean, I agree. But there are ways to leave and ways not to leave. And we were way over in the not column, if you know what I'm saying. And State Department spokesman Ned Price cannot understand. He's in a state of denial. How in the world could what happened in Afghanistan ever do anything to embolden Vladimir Putin or Chinese Premier Xi or, you know, the Ayatollahs in Iran or North Korea dictator Kim Jong-un? I don't get it. Well, you know what? He went on to say something like, now, first of all, the United States has not turned its back on Afghanistan. The United States is positioning itself to take on threats and opportunities we face now. While we continue to partner with and support the people of Afghanistan, that would be a mistaken analysis. Wow. So that's what it was. They had to rush out of Afghanistan in order to be able to pivot to Ukraine, where they're handling things so well right now that the French are deciding to hold unilateral talks and not invite the U.S. in. That's where we are. That's where we are. All right, coming up, folks, I'm going to switch subjects. We're going to leave that. Copper, you can move us to a break. We're going to leave number one of the Triple Dipper. I've just finished it. I called it Department of State of Denial. Next one, the insurrection obfuscation. What is it they've charged these folks with? You know, the sedition charge. What is an insurrection even? And why do they keep believing that the U.S. military is systemically filled up with people that are right-wingers that are about to take over the country? Oh my gosh. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, let me say thank you to a guy that we follow each other on Twitter. He goes by Vision Leader on Twitter. I just saw his tweet. He tweeted to me, basically listen to the show, I guess. Shout out to you, Vision Leader, that regards to the strategic oil reserves. He said that on the release that was recently done by Biden to try and bring fuel costs down, 50 million barrels were released from the strategic reserves. And under, you know, I would say under normal consumption rates, the U.S. uses that amount in 2.5 days. 2.5 days. So at a time when no one was being restricted from use, Biden basically released what amounted to a 2.5 day opportunity. So I thank you for that, by the way, Vision Leader. I went on, by the way, to look up how long will those U.S. oil reserves last. So here's the write-up I have online right now, just taking it at face value. I haven't studied this, but it says at current consumption rates, our current consumption rate is about 20 million barrels a day. The strategic petroleum reserve then under current consumption rates would only last 36 days. So if they had to release it all at once. However, by law, they can only release 4.4 million barrels a day. So that would extend it to 165 days of potential use. That's what I was remembering when I said I thought it was somewhere around 90 to 120 days, actually. So that would be longer than that. It's 165 days potential use of the strategic oil reserve. Now, that doesn't even count if they're refilling it as they go. And keep in mind, too, 4.4 million barrels a day, if we're in a place where we're using 20 million barrels a day, what they're telling you then is everybody stay home. Don't drive unless you have to. Only emergency services and military will drive. I mean, that's the kind of massive response you might see. But yeah, so Vision Leader's numbers, I'm assuming they're correct. Biden released just enough to last about 2.5 days at current consumption rates. There you go. Hey, let me move into the next topic. So the next topic I'm dealing with for the next little while here, I'm calling it the insurrection obfuscation. So, all right, January 6th. Let me go ahead and clarify before any trolls start hitting me up on social media. That was awful. I do not agree with what happened that day. I think it was a blight on that particular day. It was a day when there was going to be fair and open debate on the floor of the Senate as to the veracity and the viability and the reliability of the election results. And having that debate was what should have happened. There is nothing wrong with debating it. There's nothing wrong with even posturing and filibuster. The Senate rules allow for that. That's an orderly discourse. That's called democracy. And then we had, you know, the crowds get mad. And by the way, the crowds have been through a lot at that point. Don't think Biden came in with a mandate. I don't care what he tells you. I'm here so the grown-ups are now in the room. Now you're here by the skin of your teeth, dude. And you're here because there were some shady things that happened during the election season, and you're here. Okay, you're here. You're the president of the United States. I get it. I'm not saying you're not the president. You're the president. You can be the president. You are the president, Mr. Biden. But nonetheless, that was a freaking shady election cycle. And the crowds got mad, and they marched on the Capitol. Never should have done it. Should have stayed down there by the Washington Monument and protested as was their right. But no, they couldn't contain themselves, and they marched on the Capitol. The liberals have made more hay out of that. It doesn't matter that, like, what, 10 days later, you had the Department of the Interior building being assaulted. Pictures look just the same as what we saw on that day, and no one's being arrested. There is no Department of Interior insurrection commission. There's nobody wanting to know why the federal courthouse in Portland was attacked night after night after night during the Antifa protests and set on fire. That's an assault on democracy if you get down to it, because we are a nation of laws, and that was the federal courthouse. But okay, January 6th. I digress. January 6th, insurrection. The attempt to overthrow the government. Well, I got news. There was not an attempt to overthrow the government. Was there a protest that shouldn't have happened? Yes. Did they get carried away? Yes. Did they basically break things and cause chaos for a while? Yes, some of them did. All of them didn't, but some of them sure did. But when you start asking the hard questions, what really irritates the crap out of me is this constant attempt to paint this as people with military training. The military has extremists in it. We need to find out where the extremists are in our military ranks, because surely there's a lot of them, because so many of these people, they used to be in the military. Well, first of all, that's a miscategorization, but nonetheless, so what? Saying someone used to be in the military doesn't mean they're in the military. Even if they all got out and became extremists when they got out, it doesn't mean they were extremists when they were in. There's a thing called good order and discipline. If your first sergeant is watching over your shoulder, he's not going to let you get down the road where you don't need to be. And the very idea that we need to constantly belittle our military, the men and women in uniform at all the branches, and put them on training halts to go through constant, you know, extremist training and trying to root out what's happening. Well, folks, no. And Copper, we're not going to have time for calls right now. Go ahead and just tell him we're headed to a break right now, and I'm going to be staying on this topic when I get back. So if you don't mind, let him know he can call back a little bit later on. That'd be great. But folks, listen, I'm going to dive into this because I've got articles right here. Like, here's one from The Guardian saying the Timothy McVeighs are still there. Fears over extremism in the military. Timothy McVeigh was a bomber who was not in the military when he blew up the Oklahoma federal building and killed 168 people. Because you're a veteran doesn't mean you're extremist. So wake up, people. This is what they want to do to our military. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, I got to tell you, ZLA Solutions is one of our team members, been with us since the beginning. Was talking to the folks at ZLA, even this morning, as a matter of fact, I was on a call with one of them. They have had the biggest year they've ever had in the history of the company because they're putting people back to work at record numbers. Alabama's unemployment rate is one of the best in the nation, and one of the reasons why is there are groups out there like ZLA Solutions that are able to help you find the job or help you find the employees you need for your jobs. So if you're looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. Just check it out. They've got jobs posted all over Alabama. They've got some of them with great benefits attached. Listen, they can get you hooked up with a job. But if you also, by the way, are an employer who needs to hire people to fill out the ranks of your own workforce, they can do it, man. They can do all the recruiting. They can do the background checks, the drug testing for you. They can have a workforce in there for you, blue collar, white collar, no collar. It don't matter. ZLA Solutions. They like to say their motto is ZLA Solutions. We don't make it. We just make it better. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com, ZLAUSA.com. Well, I got a caller on line one. My topic right now is January 6th. I'm calling it the insurrection obfuscation and what they're trying to say about our U.S. military being filled with extremists, filled with extremists. I got a caller on line three that looks like it may be on topic, so let me just go ahead and grab that. Bob from Athens. Hey, Bob, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
I'm okay. I wanted to remind everybody what President John F. Kennedy said. He said that if people cannot peacefully protest, the only thing left is violent protest. And the American people have a right to overthrow their government, either by the ballot box or with arms, at any time they please.
Well, I would dispute that, Bob. I don't think there's anything in the law that says you can take up arms against the government and expect that to be okay. I think you can go to the ballot box.
Okay. We were born in revolution.
We were born in revolution, but not against ourselves. The next time that happened was called the Civil War, and that got put down. So the reality is no, Bob. We don't have a right to just take up arms.
You're saying that Civil War is impossible?
I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying it's not legal. You're saying you have a right. There's a difference in between somebody doing something and having a right to do something. There's two different things there. You see what I'm saying?
So if the people cannot change the government through the voting system, what's left?
Then you have the legislative matters. You can try to amend the Constitution. You can do things like passing laws at the local level. Like right now, Alabama's in a constant fight legally with the federal government because of overreach. But no, you cannot. You have no right. You have no right under the law to take up arms against the government. That's a crime. That is called insurrection. And by the way, that is called a crime. So no, can't do it, Bob. Can't do it.
Okay, I have one more question for you. Have you ever lived in an extremely large city like Chicago?
I have not lived in Chicago, no, but I have spent time in a few places. Why? What's your point?
Okay, my point is if you look at the top 100 cities in America, 77 of them are democratically controlled, and the Republican Party has almost no presence.
That is true.
So Chicago is a single-party oligarchy, which has not had a fair and an open election in my lifetime.
I completely agree. And some would say the same thing about Birmingham's internal city politics. One of the most liberal cities in the Southeast is Birmingham, and they have one of the highest crime rates, too.
That doesn't matter. Little people don't matter to a single-party oligarchy.
Well, but some would say, if you're not careful, some would say we're such a red state that you're not even seeing Democrats run for office in Alabama in our statewide elections. Single party goes both ways. Sometimes having a strong two-party system means having two strong parties, and we don't necessarily have that. It doesn't mean it's not part of the system, and I still don't think that lends to your point that we can take up arms against the government and expect that to be okay. It's not.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I said, what's left?
Well, what's left is you try to work the system or you move to a place on the ground geographically where you can, you know. I have friends that moved here from California. One of them told me the other day she moved here. She and her husband moved here for two reasons, cost of living and freedom. They wanted out of what was going on. They couldn't make a change anymore. They could no longer support it. And so, that's what they did. They chose to vote with their feet in that case. Bob,
well,
got to move on, man.
There's no place left to go.
Bob, I think we got plenty of places left to go, and I do not believe we're there yet. So no, I'm not gonna accede to your position, Bob, that we are allowed to go ahead and take up arms against the government of the United States. I swore to uphold and defend that Constitution. That is my point. Are there ways to work against those in power? Yes. It does not mean you can take up arms, and there is no right, in your words, to do so. Got to go, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you, but I'm not going down that road. Not on this show. I love this country, and I am not about to say, let's advocate civil war. Let's run out there and take over. Let's take up arms. No, that'll get put down in a heartbeat. And guess what? You'll be one of those who looks like the January 6th folks who are being tried for crimes, most of which, by the way, had nothing to do with anything like that. Most of which had nothing to do with that. So, okay, so let me do this. Let's go to what they were trying to do. Right now, you've got a group called the Oath Keepers. Are they considered right-wing extremists? I maybe so. I don't know much about them. I've had to study them for this particular segment. But the Oath Keepers, and they do. I mean, one of the things I'm looking at right now, military.com, I've got what amounts to about a five-page article on the Oath Keepers here. Military.com, by the way, if you're not familiar, is a website that you would think is a fan of the military. No, I think that they have a military audience, but they are definitely not in the conservative, uphold the integrity and value of service and in the uniformed services at all. I mean, I look at them and I think when I read it, I go, why are you military.com? Why aren't you hatethemilitary.com? That's the way it feels when I read their articles a lot of times lately. But the title of this one is Inside the Oath Keepers Plan for an Armed Takeover of the U.S. Capitol. Now, I want to bring some reality to this. Think about what it would take for an armed group to take over the U.S. Capitol and to be able to hold it. I'm not saying they couldn't get in the door. I'm not saying that they couldn't have plans that they thought were kind of cool. But I'm just saying, unless you're on some kind of a grand scale or you have the logistical capability to give you standoff, you know, capability against the sure-to-be responsive force that's going to come take the building back, how long do you think that's really going to work? When someone says insurrection to you next time, ask them, what was the plan to take over the government? What do you mean? Well, an insurrection is an armed attempt to take over the government and replace it with another. It's basically, it amounts to a coup. You are taking up arms against the government for the sole purpose of inhibiting the flow of government. How long do you think that was really going to last? If, in fact, it had happened. Now, first of all, let me ask you this. How many of those people who went in on January 6th were armed? Oh, that's right, none of them. Now, were there people who allegedly had arms stashed allegedly nearby? Well, that's the Oath Keepers. So the Oath Keepers is an organization. They're labeled by military.com as a far-right militia that they're quick to point out is led by an Army veteran. Oh, no, an Army veteran, a guy named Stuart Rhodes, who created the military-style fast reaction force as part of its plans to keep former President Trump in power after he lost the November election. Do they really think, by the way, that a group of militia guys were going to be able to keep Trump in power? Do they think that? Now, if the guys in the Oath Keepers were thinking that they could make that happen, well, they were already delusional. But if the people who were on the January 6th commission think for a minute that they were really going to do it and make it happen, they're delusional. It says at the last moment, here's the article, at the last moment, the group decided not to deploy the armed force that it had waiting around Washington, D.C. The armed force, you know how many they've arrested? Nine. I believe it's nine. Nine. The Oath Keepers, they weren't lacking in resources or motivation, says the article. The anti-government group is heavily inspired by the U.S. military. Oh, no. Its logo was a clear nod to the Army's elite Ranger tab. No. The mark of a soldier who has perfected fundamental ground combat skills. Well, I tell you what. I think that my Jeep should be a Ferrari, but it's not going to go 200 miles an hour. Because you have a logo that resembles a Ranger tab does not mean you then have fundamental ground combat skills. Federal law enforcement agents say recruiting veterans is a key goal of the extremist organization. Oh, no, recruiting veterans. What are those? Oh, those are the ones who are no longer in service. Really? Yes. All right, so as I move through this, just bear with me because this is the looniest article. Okay, God, I mean, I don't even know how to keep this thing going. First of all, the article says it's easy to dismiss the far-fetched plans and those who crafted them as loony conspiracy theorists who like to dress up like soldiers long after their service has wrapped, but they had a plan that resembles a skeleton of any military mission. Oh, they had a plan that resembled the skeleton of a military mission. They say that they had rehearsals. They say they had leadership figures established. They say they had multiple means of communication. Yeah, they had cell phones and walkie-talkies probably. They had a so-called quick reaction force. A quick reaction force? Look further down in the article. They quickly describe a quick reaction force, or a QRF. It's typically a term used by the military to describe a team that can respond when troops are engaged. Yeah, I know. I've launched a QRF in Baghdad before. I know what a QRF is. Do they really think that a QRF was going to come just assaulting its way through D.C. and cause, you know, a violent overthrow of the government and rescue their own men from the evil police who were sure to be responding? No. They had weapons stashed allegedly in a hotel room outside of Washington, D.C. Now, is that bad? Probably. Is that conspiracy? Very likely. Were they idiots? Yes. Did they do all the things that they want you to believe they did? No. Not from what we can see from here. But then it leads into the next part of the discussion. All right, the Federalist reporting the Pentagon's efforts to root out political extremism. Yeah, we'll get into that when we get back from this break. I'm going to see what I can do to get through this in roughly the 8 minutes I'm going to have when I get back from the break. But folks, I've got titles here like Data Leak Appears to Reveal 133 Oath Keepers with Ties to the U.S. Military. Ties. 133. You know how many active duty military we have right now? 1.3 million. 133. What does that mean? Oh, it's systemic. No, I don't think so. Insurrection obfuscation. When you ask them what's wrong, they say it's systemic problems in the military is a big part of it. I got news. It's not. It is not. Men and women in uniform, thank you. We appreciate you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Don't try and tell me that my army is filled up with extremists. When you do these clickbait headlines, you better be able to back it up with something that doesn't make me laugh when I read the article. Copper, I've got a note for you on the board. Take a look at that, please, and see if you can get me an answer on that. So here's one article. By the way, it's not an article, now that I say that. This is something that was put out by the Anti-Defamation League. Oh, the Anti-Defamation League. Isn't that the same group that has the handbook for teachers in the Huntsville City school system that encourages them to allow kids to pick their gender identity? Yes, that would be the same group. Yes, it would. They wrote this piece in October of last year, talking about the fact that there's a review of materials right now that seems to indicate there was a data dump, an uploaded cache of data. Allegedly linked to the Oath Keepers, a far-right anti-government militia. It included logs from the group's private chat room on Rocket Chat, emails, including membership information for more than 38,000 individuals. A review of those membership roles found that 133 people provided emails that had a .mil suffix. If you're not familiar, by the way, if you literally have a .mil address to your email, that signifies that you are probably an active duty service member in some way. It could be National Guard, Reserve, or active. 133. Out of 38,000 alleged memberships in their organization, they found 133 had a .mil email address. It doesn't mean they were members. It means they were on an email distribution list. 133. We have 1.3 million people in uniform service roughly at any given time. Now, it goes on to say it does not mean that they were necessarily an active member of the Oath Keepers. Well, the headline sure didn't seem to apply that, did it? But it does talk about the fact, or they say the fact, that the Oath Keepers targets military members as part of their recruiting because they want people who they believe are going to bring some combat experience so they can do things like stage an overthrow of the government. Well, that's what the Oath Keepers were saying that they were there for. They were there to protect the government, they say. Now, I got news. I'm not advocating joining one of these organizations. I am not. What I'm trying to say is, boy, they have become the poster child for everything that January 6th wants. Article on TheGuardian.com, dated 2 weeks ago, January 10th, 2022. The Timothy McVeighs are still there. Fears over extremism in the military. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about this. Talk about hyperbole. This is some jackleg hyperbole right here. This is a retired major general, an infantry guy, Ranger Tab qualified, somebody who had a long and stellar career who has since gotten out and become a strong advocate against Republican presidents. He spoke against Bush. Now he apparently can't stand Trump. He and two other retired generals wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post last month that warned about a threat of a coup in the 2024 elections. Talking about rogue units organizing themselves to support the so-called rightful commander-in-chief. And he says, the McVeighs of the world are still there. We had about 4,500 of them crawling over the nation's capital. I got news. 4,500 Timothy McVeigh's bombers, the vast majority of the people who marched on the Capitol who shouldn't have done it were not bombers willing to set off a device that would kill hundreds of people. Have I got a caller? Scroll down. I got so much stuff written on the board right now. I do. I see. Let me go ahead and just do this. I am almost out of time. Folks, you see my point? The Pentagon is determined to portray extremism in the ranks. Right now, I've got an article that shows that the number of extremists, allegedly extremists, in the ranks have been dealt with in terms of UCMJ action has increased. Oh, no, it's increased. Yeah, it went up from an average of 6 a year to 20 a year out of 1.3 million people. Don't try and tell me that our military is at risk of being so overwhelmed by extremism. Hey, I got about 1 minute left. Let me do this. I'll go ahead and take Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, Phil Williams on Right Side. I got hardly any time, man, but what you got?
Let's make it lightning fast then. The 14th Amendment is what made the secession from the states illegal. So it's not correct me where I'm wrong, but it's not a civil war at that point. It is actually a war between the states because every state had its right to join the Union or secede until that point.
Okay.
And now me, I wore the U.S. flag on my uniform when I was riding around in tanks of the desert, so I'm happy with that. But we have a chance to modify the Constitution. It's built into it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Good one, sir. Goodbye.
Hey, man. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate your service. Thank you for being in the audience very much. Hey, coming up, folks, we're switching subjects. Going to my friend Parker Snyder from the Policy Institute to talk about things that are happening down in Montgomery. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.